Item 16, briefing, Urban Wildlife Program, Mr. Richard Heilbrun. Did I pronounce that right? Good, okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. My name is Richard Heilbrun. I'm an urban wildlife biologist in the Wildlife Division, and I'm here to brief you today on the Urban Wildlife Program. As we've heard today, and as you know, we're becoming more and more urbanized every day. Three-quarters of all the counties dependent on farming, ranching, and mining are actually found west of the I-35 corridor. Almost that percentage of the Texas House of Representatives come from urban counties. If you take just Houston alone, that city accounts for a quarter of our entire state's population. And then if you bring it on down even further and look at just Harris County, you're talking about 25 of the 150 representatives. So you can imagine the kind of voting and financial power that that these urban areas have. Encompassing 2.4 million acres with 19 million people, the urban landscape is really spreading with everything we do here in the department. You have only to look at big programs, successful programs like the Expo, to know that urban residents really crave information from us and guidance on natural resource management. Our job in our program is to increase the awareness of the natural resources in the minds of the urban Texans while simultaneously preserving wildlife habitat in and around our cities. However, a major problem is convincing these urban residents that our issues should be their issues. So we attempt not only to influence people, but also policy and personal philosophy. To that end, the department created our program, the Urban Wildlife Program, in 1993. We have 8 urban biologists in 7 cities, including Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, El Paso, San Antonio, and in the valley, we have 2 other biologists that share urban responsibilities. The program began largely as outreach. In the mid-90s, we hung our hat on individual residential programs like the Wildscape Program, the Backyard Habitat Program, but those are great programs that we continue today, but they impacted one home, one resident at a time. We have now grown into a program largely centered around policy-driven technical guidance. As a program, our activities can be classified as outreach and technical guidance, though much of what we do we consider to be innovative for the department because we have such a different kind of audience than many of the other staff and programs that we have. We reach about 30,000 to 40,000 people annually. That's with 9 staff members. We either teach or guest lecture at 5 different universities, and we support 14 master naturalist chapters by either teaching classes, providing advanced training, offering conservation programs, research projects, things like that. And we are also very proud of our landowner workshops. These workshops began in 2002 in Houston, and the goal of these landowner workshops has always been to not only protect the land, but to educate these newer demographics of landowners that we hear about. Those landowners that perhaps didn't grow up on the land, perhaps they don't have the education or the background or just the familiarity of managing their ranch. Oftentimes they have different priorities than traditional ranchers, but a common thread is that many of them are now commuting to their properties on the weekends and the holidays. So many of them have better access to our urban staff than some of our more traditional rural staff. We now conduct landowner workshops in all 7 of the areas that this program covers. In the past 2 years, we've reached landowners coming from 114 different counties, representing 200,000 acres. And you can see that this really centers around those major metropolitan areas. Getting our word out is no small task. So we developed an urban wildlife media communications plan to get the word out to some of these non-traditional audiences. Because we're in these major media markets, we're often the first point of contact on a variety of natural resource issues. Issues like urban sprawl, city laws, native landscaping, and nuisance wildlife. Now I want to spend just a quick second talking about nuisance wildlife. It is a very small part of our program, but it garnishes quite a bit of attention in the press, as you can imagine. We're very proud of the work we've done with urban coyotes. Biologists in Dallas and Fort Worth developed a really fantastic program to aid city leaders and city planners dealing with these urban coyotes. We gave them a matrix to help them make decisions based on the situation with the coyotes versus what we recommend to do with the people. We then took that model and applied it to a lot of other cities statewide, so we're really proud of that. Urban biologists in El Paso and San Antonio helped to formulate the mountain lion human interaction response procedures. This past summer, San Antonio biologists had the dubious distinction of testing those procedures. And we worked with the media to communicate about these issues. We worked with city leaders and the general public. Everything came out fine. We had no incidents. And we really came out very well developing relationships with the media and with these city leaders to show them that, that it's not necessarily this sort of head-to-head conflict that many people imagine it to be. We spend a lot of time on site-specific technical guidance. Small landowners on the fringe of the city need wildlife management advice. Corporations often desire to manage their urban campuses for wildlife and wildlife habitat. Schools come to us for help with their outdoor classrooms. And we also assist homeowner associations with a variety of issues. This year, for the first time, a family was honored with a Lone Star Land Steward Award for conservation development. That's a very interesting concept to me and to our program. We're really excited about the idea of conserving your ranch by developing it. We're excited about the opportunities this creates for developers and also for ranching families that are feeling the pressure of urbanization and development. There's a middle ground, and we're incorporating these ideas into projects around the state with various developers. While many of our programs seek to improve wildlife habitat on a site-specific or individual basis, we found that by influencing city policy, we can impact a larger area and conserve larger blocks of habitat. The analogy I used is we can work with one homeowner at a time, or we can change a law that would impact 1.5 million people. And so we found that it's a lot more work, but we can get we can impact larger areas by working with these city officials. We work with vegetation ordinances to allow things like parks to be operated as natural areas, lawns to be converted to backyard habitats, to better manage urban creeks and rivers for wildlife diversity. Additionally, we found that by manipulating the development code for conservation development type ideas, we make it easier to protect wildlife habitat while still allowing the cities to grow and new homes to be built. We're also working with city leaders to identify land to be purchased for conservation. As an example, in San Antonio, city bonds raised $130 million to purchase land within and outside of the city's jurisdiction for aquifer recharge. Urban biologists were in on that project, and we helped to steer the purchase of the land for threatened endangered species and other sensitive wildlife. We've protected several thousand acres with that project, and we anticipate the purchase of several thousand more by the end of this next year. The principals work into working with other agencies. We work with federal agencies. As an example, efforts in El Paso to protect the Casner bombing range as wildlife habitat are ongoing. We have projects like this in most of our cities working with federal, city, and state entities. We like to work with city planners with the philosophy that every acre of habitat within the city will help. Now, granted, some days we're not measuring in acres, we're measuring it in square feet, and some days we're measuring it in just the number of people that we can reach, but we'll take what we can get. So as I mentioned, a lot of what we do is innovative for the department because we have sort of a unique audience. I mentioned the mountain lions and the coyotes. These programs help to endear us to the cities that we live in and we work in, and to other biologists. We've conducted research in Austin to evaluate the diversity of songbirds on disturbed versus undisturbed lands. And then we train citizen scientists to monitor the biodiversity of these lands. Now, then what we do is we take that data and we use it to strengthen our argument with city planners, city officials, to protect additional lands. There's a bridge in Houston that underscores the value of what we do. It's the Wall Drive Bridge. And biologists there have used that bridge that has a bat population to shine some positive attention on how wildlife and people can coexist in the city. And what it has done, it's generated a lot of good media coverage, gotten a lot of good people to work with us, but more importantly, it's shown the planners and the officials of Houston that you can actually incorporate wildlife into your urban design. Finally, we believe that urban residents are an untouched resource for the department. We are working with many divisions within the department to recruit new constituents from the urban pool, so to speak, to ensure that urban residents have the same access to outdoor recreation as the rural residents, and to give them the opportunities to enjoy that natural resource, because we believe that if they enjoy the resource, they'll be more likely to support them at the ballot box. The urban landscape is constantly changing and growing, so we're working hard to make sure that it changes and grows the way we'd like to see it. And that's all I have for today.
Any comments or questions? Well, this is where it's all going to be. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's where all the population. I thought your lead slide was both interesting and, I guess, somewhat disturbing. But I think, and I'm glad we've got this type of program going, because we're going to do more and more and more outreach, obviously, in the urban areas. And education is going to be a big part of that also. So thank you. Any other comments? I think we're... Is there any other business to be brought before this commission, Mr. Cook? We moved along fairly quickly this morning.
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Hearing none, this commission has completed its business. I declare us adjourned. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.